And welcome, after long ado in a podcast hiatus, episode 48 of Meathead Chatter is live. And today, I have a special guest, my homie, Tom DiGiulie. Is that right? Did I pronounce your last name right? I didn't even clarify
yes,
that first.
Yes, sir.
Ha, perfect.
Perfect, yes. You didn't butcher it.
Nice. So Tom DiGiulie, if you guys are not checking him out and you do anything with kettlebells or maces or clubs, he is one to watch. He is one of the stronger cats out there, competing in all kinds of stuff and just killing the game. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm good, man. Thank you for that. I really appreciate it. Everything's good. I'm happy to be on, to be chatting about strong stuff, all things kettlebells, sandbags, clubs, the workshop that me and you have going on. I'm excited for that. I've never been to Indiana. Is it Indiana or Indianapolis?
Indiana's the state. We'll be up in Lafayette, though, so about an hour north of Indianapolis. But
cool.
Yeah, it'll
yeah,
be.
Man, I've never been there.
Yeah, cool. lots of corn, lots of soybeans. It's good times. Actually, Lafayette's perfect. Decent. It's like a college town, but yeah, we can drive out town like 20 minutes, and you just be in a sea of cornfields.
Cool. Perfect. Yeah, I'm excited, man. I've never been there, so it's gonna be fun.
Nice. Sweet. So Tom, let's dive into background a little bit. So you were not always like an unconventional strength practitioner, right? Like I know I've seen videos of you like doing shit in like LA Fitness.
Yes, basically. So quick rundown. I started training martial arts when I was 10, little karate guy, little kid. And then as I got a little bit older, I started diving into just conventional weightlifting, and Synergies, LA Fitness, X-Sports, that kind of drove around a lot of Long Island here in New York and tried different gyms. I got into jiu-jitsu at 19 years old. I did that for 5 years while doing conventional style.
Nice.
And then I ended up really injuring my knee through jiu-jitsu, so I stopped doing that. I had a little bit of a hiatus. I tried going back, and then COVID happened. So once COVID happened, I had 3 kettlebells at home. I had 1 little heavy medicine ball. And I just started fucking around with the bells, and then I started getting into clubs, more so sandbags. And then progressively over the next 3 or 4 years, I really just said, fuck it, and let me just dive deep into kettlebell training, sandbag training, clubs. I got into landmines, too. I was messing with the Bulgarian bags a little bit, but I stopped on that. And then I stopped doing jiu-jitsu altogether, and I just started focusing on building my business with the unconventional style. And after 4 years of just really experimenting, I opened my gym 2 years ago, small little spot, and it ended up turning into my business, into my career and my life. And I've been the strongest I've ever been in my whole life. So it ended up being really good into diving into unconventional training. And I still do conventional lifts like bench, squat, and deadlift, but adding that into the routines and
It's a part of the program, not the center of the program anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's part of it, but the main style are the unconventional stuff. That stuff just really blew me up in my body and my training in great ways. So, yeah, that's the quick little rundown. It's been great.
Yeah, that is awesome, man. And I know you have some we're going to do some strength pedigree. So like if I have powerlifters on here, it's like, hey, what have you squat, bench, deadlift, all that fun stuff. But talk a little bit about like some of the numbers you've hit are crazy. And first of all, what are you like? You're like 5'10", right?
I'm 5'10", and I'm right now I fluctuate between like 200 and 205 pounds.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Getting to be big boy weight now.
Trying, man. It's all hard.
Yeah, I think it's when I first started following you, you were like maybe like 185, but still just doing stupid shit. So I've seen you, what, you snatched a 150 kettlebell this last week, I think I saw, which is
gnarly. Yeah, I did it yesterday, actually, too, with my friend's gym. Thank you, man. Yeah, that shit is ridiculous, but yeah, man, the weight plays a big role on the body, too. The more weight you have on you, the more your body can take.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Yeah, well, and if you just think about, like, the motion of a kettlebell snatch, if you're a 200-pound dude swinging if you're a 185-pound dude swinging a 150 to the top like that, just the leverage point's going to change. Like, the balance is going to be totally different because it's such a high percentage of your body weight. you put on 20 pounds, it still is heavy, but, like, it's not going to throw you around as bad either.
Exactly. Yes, I agree.
What's the biggest sandbag you put over your shoulder?
The biggest sandbag I've done is 350.
Nasty.
Last year when I really started, like, taking more supplements, like, I noticed that creatine was making my appetite, like, bigger. Like, when I started taking creatine, so when I started taking creatine, my appetite started getting bigger, so I started eating more and I put on more weight. I'm still able to, like, move and do, like, high bursts of, like, cardio on the assault bike and skiers and stuff. But when I really started taking creatine, I just realized that my appetite started getting more and I started to add on more weight. So I added on, like, 15 pounds from, like, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago.
Well, it's like,
and with the sandbags, I'm trying my best to get to 400. Just above 300 pounds is tough, like, especially for my size, like. Yeah, it's tough, man. And when I competed at the sandbag games a couple of weeks ago in Atlanta, a lot of the guys were just very dense. Like, they were big fucking dudes, and they were wearing, like, weight belts and arm wraps and knee sleeves and all this shit.
Dude,
I was at
Home Gym Con, and JP was there, Freedom Strength Company guy, right?
Nah, it's cool.
He was like, I was down there, and he was like, all these, like you were saying, all these guys were, like, you know, 20 pounds bigger than Tom. They were, like, kitted up with, like, their elbow sleeves and belts and all the neoprene shit. And you're just walking around, not saying a fucking word, not wearing anything, but, like, a pair of shorts and a shirt. And he was saying, there was this one guy who was, like, talking all this shit, like, oh, you already got my bid to Nationals, so I'm probably going to use this to do blah, 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 blah. And then you shit all over him. Oh, he laughed his ass off about that, too. He was like, man, no, I mean, that guy was good, but, like, he just didn't know what he was messing with.
Yeah, man. And it's just funny because a lot of the guys there were asking me, like, they were nice. They're like, yo, like, what is it that you do? Like, the fact that you don't need to wear... You don't need to wear anything. Like, you don't get tired. And I show them. And a lot of the times we differentiate strength with numbers. But when it really comes down to it, how strong you are, it really depends on how strong your foundations are, your knees, your elbows, your shoulders, everything keeping the body in alignment. So I'm not too scientific when it comes to training because I'm dumb and that shit just gives me headaches. Like, you know. Like all the textbook bullshit and people just saying, like, oh, you know, like the fascia and the fucking ligaments and all this shit. Like, I get it. It's important. But I like to simplify things as much as I can. And I was telling those guys, like, the reason why you have to wear all this stuff. I mean, sometimes, like, if you're pushing heavy fucking weight, like, if you're doing, like, if you're an elite strongman, you're doing, like, a fucking 350, 400-pound log press over your head, that's different. That's for safety measures. But, like, if you're just, like, doing regular stuff, like sandbag training and all that stuff, and you have to wear that shit all the time, it just means that your foundations may not be strong enough to where you need to rely on that stuff. And the kettlebell training, the clubs and the maces and all that stuff, it makes my body being able to train like this every day, 7 days a week.
It puts you in not great positions and teach in a safe way and basically gets all your connective tissues to work in, like, range of motions that they don't get work necessarily in, like, more traditional lifting. And that's when I added a lot of, like, maces and clubs to my training. That's kind of what I noticed too, is just, like, I mean, other than my back, like, but I am fairly bulletproof, and my back is hurt right now, but that's because it's always been hurt ever since 2017. So it is what it is. But my shoulders, like, I'm a 500-pound bench presser, and I would be peaking for a meet, and my elbows would be trashed, my shoulders would be trashed, everything would be trashed. Now I'll be peaking for a meet, and everything feels good, you know? And so, yeah, I totally think the style of training you do, at least getting some of the unconventional lifts in, makes such a huge difference, no matter what kind of strength sport or whatever you're trying to do.
Yeah, man. And it's funny when people shit on kettlebells or, like, the stuff that we do. Like, so I've heard guys say that kettlebells are just for women or they're just for cardio. And it's sad because there's a lot of benefits to them and to everything else that we do.
Yep.
Because like you said, it's if you really want to dive deeper into the science behind stuff, it is all about connective tissues. Mm-hmm. And my connective tissues, yours, everybody's built different, but you can make those ligaments and those tissues strong enough to where it can handle and it can brace and it can move in weird positions and it can explode. Like, there's so much more than to just curl and weight and bench pressing and deadlifting. Like, if you supplement, even just, I wouldn't even call it like supplementals, because I know sometimes people call it accessory work.
Right.
I don't really do accessory work. I just add different modalities that work. Even just adding like the landmines with the coiling and, you know, with Alex Canellis' system, Landmine University, and David Weck, like putting your body in those positions and working your muscles that way, it can prepare you for those competitions so you don't have to wear those knee, elbow, and fucking weight belts like you're a fucking robot. It's funny, but like, I think a lot of those guys would benefit on training this type of way instead of just raw dogging it and trying to just, you know, all the crap that they're doing.
And I coach a lot of powerlifters and strongman. That's kind of my background is, you know, martial arts, then CrossFit, then strongman, then powerlifting was kind of my path. So I coach a lot of like guys that are specific to strength athletes. And it's like you said, like, it's not just about muscle. So like in my mind, there's like three things that'll get you strong and keep you strong. One is like building muscle mass, right? Like a bigger muscle has potential to be a stronger muscle, right? And then the second piece is like getting your nervous system to fire quicker and harder and all that stuff. And those are like real common, like people kind of realize those in the traditional lifting world. But that connective tissue piece, being able to be resilient and like springy, is a secondary thing. And you don't really get the connective tissue work except with very, very high reps or dynamic kind of movements like a kettlebell swing, a kettlebell snatch. I imagine landmine work to some degree as well. Like swinging clubs and maces, that fast ballistic type movement is a little more neurological and definitely a lot more connective tissue compared to just straight muscle. And that's a huge piece a lot of people are missing. And it was like you said, like if they just added a little bit of that, there'd be a lot of prehab advantages and there'd be a lot of like building up the connective tissue advantages. And I think especially when you're talking strength sports, you can't really talk strength sports without like talking about PEDs, right? And if you're on stuff, like if you look at high level strongman, like most common injury is popping a bicep, right? And then maybe some back stuff. But blowing a bicep is not a your muscle was too weak. That's a your connective tissue was too weak issue. You'll see at higher levels, you see like quad tendons blowing shit. And all that stuff, like the tendon strength, the ligament strength, that will get better from clubs, mace, kettlebells, things like that. And you can't really like train them how you need to train them to make them stronger without that. And when you're taking PEDs, like your muscle strength outpaces your tendon strength. That's why you get injured, because your muscles are strong enough, but your tendons aren't. So I think especially if you're someone in strength athletics and you're on some shit, you need to be doing some of this stuff or you're just going to get hurt quicker than you normally would.
Yeah, and talking about the Zambia games, I mean, the second place guy, like, I mean, I don't want to throw any shade, but, you know, it is what it is.
He was jacked.
Like, you know, yeah, he was rock as hell, honestly. Like, I mean, listen, shout out to him. I mean, you know, he was a good competitor. And honestly, bro, like, if I didn't have people like that, then I wouldn't be able to compete. I wouldn't be able to show off, like, you know, like what I do. Or I wouldn't be able to do any of that stuff. So, you know, like, the cockiness and the comments and all that stuff, it's good to an extent, but
dude, it's,
you know,
part, I mean, of competition.
It's just ego, bro. Like that's just what it is. You know what I mean? And it's like me, I'm calm with that stuff. And, you know, shout out to him. If I didn't have him and the other guys, then I wouldn't be able to compete, you know?
Right.
But for example, with him, I don't know if he is. I didn't ask. It did kind of look like it, because what I know, I don't really know much about PEDs, but I know a couple things. Like, I know what things to see. Like, I've noticed guys who are on, they have like really big ass fucking traps and shoulders, and they have a lot of back knee. So they have a lot of acne on their back.
Yeah, that's usually the biggest telltale. And that can happen naturally too, but you know.
usually there's like little things I can see or tell when guys are on that.
Yep.
But even then, like with PEDs and all that stuff, is interesting because you would see people who are that broad or that hot, that lean, no water in them, dehydrated,
yep.
and they look like gods, but they can't really perform. And even on Instagram and in social media and even in movies, like, people see these guys as, like, you know, as gods, and they're so good-looking, and they look strong as fuck, but in reality, they can't really do anything. They can, maybe they have, like, one or two good sets in them, but that's about it. They right. get, they die.
The endurance and isn't there. And the yeah. movement, the movement's also, not there.
Yeah. It also comes into conditioning and your heart rate and all that stuff, too. Mm-hmm. So, not even just talking about the ligaments, but all, like, and the connective tissues, but also talking about your gas tank. Like, if you're strong as fuck, but you can't work, like, even if it's just doing a sandbag medley or yoke carries or clean presses, like, put somebody in a routine where you do 15 sets of axle bar clean and press, kettlebell swings, and sandbag pickups. Like, you got to be able to work, especially right. if you're going up weight every set. Like, if you only got one or two good sets in you, then to me, that's not strength. Like, you can't last. You can't work. Like, Brian Shaw talks about that too. I love Brian Shaw. I love everything that he does, how he is. He's like a gentle giant. But he talks about in his videos that, listen, you could be strong as fuck, but if you don't have a gas tank and you can't work, then that shows weakness too.
Yep.
So I think...
Well, and I think, too, it's very dependent on the sport, too, because, like, powerlifter, it's like, well, dude, you only got to be good for 9 reps in the day, you know?
Yeah.
But if you're talking strongman or, like, sandbag games like you did, which was basically, you know, essentially strongman, right? It's just, you know, focusing more on one specific aspect of it. But I always tell people, like, powerlifting's like a 1 rep max sport. Strongman's like a 5 to 10 rep max sport at like 80 to 90% of your 1 rep max. So it's like that endurance piece matters. And then you add in like the ability to move well with weight too, like running around with a 300-pound sandbag is a different thing too. So you got people that'll do bodybuilding just to get massive and muscular, and that's cool if that's what you want to do. And powerlifting to get strong as their primary goal. But then it's like if you're just massive and strong, that's cool, but like you are not going to function well in the real world when shit goes. Like if the apocalypse happens tomorrow and it's about fucking survival, you're going to survive better than a professional bodybuilder will, right? Because you can just do more shit.
Yeah, it's true. And I just like being authentic, and I like saying, like, you know, the truth about things. And like, not, you know, I'm not going to shit on anybody. I'm not going to talk crap about,
right.
you know, any sport or anything like that. But, you know, even with like bodybuilding, like to me, like, I like it. I like the training styles. I love like all the old school, like OGs, like, you know, Ronnie Coleman, obviously Arnold,
right.
Tom Platt, who else? The Blade, Dexter Jackson.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, I love all those guys, man. I love that sport. It's great. But the thing is, when it comes to PEDs and supplements, like, they'll promote it, like, yeah, like, take this supplement and you'll look like me. It's just like, no, you might have to do, you might have to do more than that to actually look like
right.
these guys. And they're big, hulking men, but are they really healthy inside? Are they really healthy with movement?
Yep.
Are they not stiff? Can they hold a squat and not put their heels up for a minute or two?
Yep. Can they even reach back to the barbell to squat? You know, stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. Some of them need, like, the assistance, or they can only do, like, a safety bar squat because they can't pull their shoulders back that way.
Right.
And this just goes to, like, the regular population with people because, like, I've noticed this recently, like, with people, is that the population really does not know anything about fitness, health, strength, anything. It's most people, they don't care to. So gym owners or trainers, like, you know, I'm sure everybody's had this moment where, you know, it's like people don't want to work. They don't want to know about the body. They don't want to take the time to really dive deep and learn and really train and get strong, because most people just want to work out for a vacation,
right.
or they want to work out for some dumb fucking reason. But there's very select few people that want to learn and want to get after it and want to change their life in that way. But it's a good and a bad thing that people don't know much about that.
Right.
about strength training. You know what I mean?
They don't have as many bad things to unlearn to some degree too, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think the cool thing is too, and we see that, I mean, I own a gym, so it's like, no, some people come to our gym because we're a strength gym. We got powerlifting. We got strongman. So if you're trying to do strongman or powerlifting and you're in this area, we're like it. Like there just isn't another spot to go. But the majority of people that come in to my gym and all gyms are like, hey, I just want to like look a little better when I look in the mirror. Basically, like yeah. That's it. And like, that's an okay goal. And like you said, get ready for a vacation or a wedding or whatever, fill in the blank. And that's cool. That's kind of like the entry level drug, right? But once you get them here and they start doing some stuff and start seeing the numbers go up on the bar, the kettlebell, the sandbag, like whatever, then they start getting, oh, there's more to this than I just want to like look cool for the summer. And that's a yeah. fine goal, but I feel like that's kind of the goal that gets them in there. And then once they're in there, they discover there's a lot cooler shit about it. And then that's kind of why they stay. And when they really do get the good results is when it becomes about something more than that.
Yeah. And then it sends to like community, like being a part of a group of people yeah. that are uplifting and that you're around like-minded individuals. That plays a lot with the mental aspect of it too. Even like with me, working out by myself sometimes, it fucking sucks, dude.
It does suck so bad sometimes.
It sucks. Like, especially like if you're doing a really hard-ass workout and you're mm-hmm. by yourself, I mean, you can get it done, but working out with people is better. Even if I just have one of my clients working out with me, it's great. If right. I have a whole group of people, cool. But the community aspect of it is very good too.
Dude, 100%. I used to own a CrossFit gym. I owned it for about 5 years and before I sold it. And that was one of the coolest things that CrossFit brought to the fitness community was that whole like suffer together, misery loves company, but like in a good way, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, it's always kind of been there. Like you always had your workout buddy, your lifting buddy that you'd go to the, you know, the normal gyms with or whatever, but it just kind of took it to a different level. There was always boot camp type classes, but it was just different when it was CrossFit and you had like some barbell shit going on with all those people. It was just different. It kind of, I feel like it pushed it to the next level. And, that's really cool. And I know you run classes that are like functional fitness classes, for lack of a better term. I don't know what the term would be. I feel like functional fitness gets a weird rap sometimes. Oh, one thing you were talking about, when people in the normal lifting world, the typical lifting world are like, oh yeah, kettlebells, that's for women. That's for light stuff. And it's like, that's right. It is light stuff. Just get a heavier kettlebell and then you'll see the difference. It's weight, right? So it's resistance training. If you're pressing a kettlebell or you're pressing a dumbbell, you're still doing an overhead press with some weight. Just grab a heavier one. The problem is a lot of gyms don't have heavy enough kettlebells for it to be something for those guys. I think that's kind of the issue more than anything.
Yeah, and I've had some guys tell me that they bought heavier kettlebells for them.
Really? So nice.
They would buy it themselves. They would buy it themselves and then just leave it
just
there.
Just bring it in?
But you're right. Yeah, but even you're right. Like, even if guys want to grab a heavier kettlebell, they could buy it or, you know, the gym can invest in that type of stuff. Yep. But in most gyms, you just see the regular conventional weightlifting machine. Even if like a guy, for example, has a 44-pound or a 53-pound kettlebell, that could still smoke you because you could do an EMOM. You could mm-hmm. do a 15-minute EMOM, dude, and that shit will cook you, bro. Even to this day, every time I do EMOMs or if I link up with my boys, like Jared, the crazy trainer, shout out to him, Wes Beans, like all of them. Like, they be on their EMOM bullshit. I love them, but I fucking hate that shit.
You're like, can we go heavy?
It's hard. It's hard shit. So even then, if guys would just do that with a single kettlebell, they'll get smoked, and then they'll open their eyes like, oh, wow, maybe this isn't just for women. Even if maybe this isn't just for display or a door opener, you know what I mean?
And that being said, have you seen some of the shit women are doing nowadays? There's like four or five women that at Strongman last like month or so pulled over 600 pounds from the fucking floor.
Yeah, man.
Like, Jesus Christ.
They're built different. Women are built different, man. Their pain tolerance is departed.
It's true. I feel like they'll go like 90% of their max for like 10 reps for some reason. I don't know. And it's like, it's not like we screwed up the max calculations. They're just tough.
they're tough mentally, man. Because they're built to give birth.
So yeah, that's fair.
Their pain tolerance is ridiculous.
Their ability to suffer.
Sometimes with women, like, it'll be interesting. I trained, like, couples before, and the women will dust the guys. Like, mm-hmm. they'll fucking dust them. And sometimes, like, us, we could be big bitches, dude. Like, especially when we get sick. Like, when I get sick, dude, I crawl into a ball. I don't want to talk to nobody. I'm fucking in my bed being a little bitch. And, like, if my family, like, if my mom or my sister or the girls that I know, like, they get sick, bro, they're still working they're still taking care of their kids. They're working out. And I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, how are y'all doing this? So, yeah, it's funny. It's funny, but I've had multiple women, like, outwork the guys in here.
Right.
Outside people, too. It's very cool to see.
Yep, and my gym's kind of like that too, where we have a very large female population. We're right about 50-50 guy and girl at the gym, which is awesome for like a more standard style gym. And we've done a really good job of like kind of building the community around that. Like they have the girls' Facebook group for the gym, and they all, you know, they love that like camaraderie community feeling. Like the guys are cool too, but like we're not going to get on a group chat and talk all day. You know, so yeah, I'm super stoked to have such big female involvement in the gym and in kettlebell, in mace, like in everything right now. I just feel like that was another thing CrossFit kind of brought to the forefront. Like I used to go to strongman shows and it'd be like a girl, maybe two girls. Now it'll be like usually at least a third of the participants will be female, which is super cool.
Yeah, it's cool, man.
I also feel like kettlebells and more unconventional training gets a bad rap too. Just so this happened to me. So I came from strength sports, right? And then I banged up my shoulder prepping for Worlds in 2022 and couldn't bench. My back was a little jacked up, so couldn't really do like anything. So started swinging some maces, swinging some clubs, and kind of found that. But I feel like at least now, even like a few years ago especially, but even now I feel like most of the people that get in are people who are like, hey, I want to do kettlebells, I want to do maces, like that kind of training, tend to be not coming from like a weightlifting background to some degree. So I feel like by default the people that are getting shown on social media a lot are people who move really well but aren't necessarily maximally strong. So I feel like when I started swinging maces, I got some attention pretty quick because, like, there's how many people are swinging a 70-pound mace in the country right now? Like, there aren't very many, right? And it's not because I'm awesome at maces. It's because I did strongman powerlifting, like, legit strength resistance training for, you know, a decade and a half and then found maces. So it's like you kind of started ahead. So I feel like as time goes on, we get more strong people into it. Like you're strong as hell on kettlebell and mace and club and all that stuff. Adam Hicks is another guy that I've had on the podcast that's, you know, he's a strong as hell club swinger. I'm good at him, of course. And this dude, Tim, that I'm going to be competing with in June, he's like a 100-pound club swinger. Like there's some bad people getting into it right now too. And I think as time goes along, you get more guys like you and me and other folks like us who are swinging heavy ass shit, it'll start to kind of build that respect and that reputation. Now, I just think up until the last year or two, there really wasn't very many people swinging that heavy to really kind of get that clout from the normal gym goer people. Not that we necessarily need it, but it definitely wouldn't hurt growing the sport and the modalities.
I agree. I think after COVID, that's when it really started to blow up because I didn't see anything about clubs or maces or anything until after COVID. Like I only just started seeing that because it was convenient. And I feel like with all this stuff, as I look in my gym, I look at all this crap that I have, a lot of the times it is minimalist stuff, I think, in my opinion. So for me, I wanted to deck out my facility as a full unconventional gym where you can test whatever the fuck you want. You can see how heavy you can snatch, how much you can shoulder, how much you can club swing.
Yep.
But if you're a regular person where you have a 9-to-5 job, you're a dad, you're a mom, you could keep one sandbag, one club, and one kettlebell in your living room or your bedroom, and you could do a good hour workout with that stuff. You could do swings to shoulder, push-ups, squats, pullovers with the club, clean squat, like very minimalist stuff. So it really depends on how far or how you want to dive into things.
Right.
And the people that come into my gym, they fell in love with it because I taught them all of it and I opened up their brains and their eyes to it a little bit. Whether they're a CrossFit coach or an everyday person or an older person, they love it because they get stronger and they build cardio and it's just a challenge for them.
Right.
So now if you're at home and you're doing this stuff, that's the benefit too, because if you're busy as hell and you can only get a half hour, 45 minute workout in, you could just do it in your house and that's pretty much it. But even if you do go to a regular gym, if you're doing a push-pull day or if you're just doing like a bench press day, like do a sandbag carry or do a sandbag pickup. Like buy a sandbag and just put that in. It's very inexpensive. It's really not that expensive unless you're nuts and you want to really deep dive into this stuff. But it's also inconvenient too because you really don't need a lot of equipment to get a good workout in or to even add a different modality into your gym. Because if you have a 100-member gym, but say you focus mainly on CrossFit, but you have a 200-pound kettlebell and a 300-pound sandbag, odds are there's at least like one or two, maybe three people that are going to be able to do get with that if they want to. Like really swing it, goblet squat it, or shoulder it, you know. And I think if people would open up their minds to it, especially when they see people like us, like if they see Dan swinging a 70-pound mace, they're like, oh, I can't fucking do that shit. It's like, no, if Dan can do it, then that just means that it's humanly possible. So why can't you do it one day?
Maybe you that's can't do it yet. Yeah. Yeah, so that's awesome.
I see somebody doing it and it's physically possible, then why can't I snatch a 150-pound kettlebell? Why can't I one-arm clean a 200-pound kettlebell? You know, and I've seen multiple guys do that. And
well,
I think
dude,
it
there
comes
was
to a lot of intimidation.
There was a, I mean, you've done that with me. Like, I mean, I'm a strong person, but I haven't like kettlebelled as much as I was like macing and doing clubs and normal powerlifter type stuff. But then I'd be on your page and see you like swinging the fucking 100 club or like snatching a 150. You did some compound. It was a couple months ago where it was like high pull. It was like single arm swing, high pull, clean, and then press overhead with like the 150. You did it on like both sides. I was like, fuck, I don't know if I could do that. Or you did, I think you did the 176, something stupid that made me mad. And I think I only got the one, I only got the 150, but I was, it's like, you see people do it and you're like, well, shit, I should probably try to do that. I'm like, I'm pretty strong. I'm as strong as Tom, probably strong on a couple like random bro things, but like, unconventional wise, you're one of the dudes I'm chasing for sure.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it, bro.
Yeah.
Thank you, man. Yeah, but it's all just consistency in the lift. That's it. Like my conventional lifts suck. Like they're really not that great. They've never been that great, and I'm still working on them now. But the unconventional stuff, I really just found a love for that, and I just deep dived into it. It's also just repetition. Repetition, man.
Yeah, well, and it's like that kind of training gets you so explosive too. Like if people watch like you lift and stuff, you can just see how like explosive you are compared to like more traditional lifters. And if you think about what you're doing, heavy sandbag is from the floor to the shoulder, so it's like a power clean, but from the depths of hell because you're pulling from the floor instead of mid shin. And you're doing it as fast as possible because you have to build that momentum or it ain't fucking going anywhere. And then you look at kettlebells, that's fast hip hinge, that's a big triple extension, so that's speed too. You're looking at the landmine, same thing. You're working on the jerks, that's like fast explosive overhead work. Like, so everything you're training in the unconventional world is very explosive, which means you can be a smaller athlete and end up hitting bigger numbers too, just because your shit's moving faster, which is super cool.
Yeah,
so people that are like, I want to get in shape, I want to get strong, but I don't want to get like huge, I mean, that kind of training will do it. Like, you'll still build muscle, but you're not going to look like I look, right? Like, me over here doing all this grindy shit, you're not going to be a 260-pound dude. But you can be a 200-pound dude moving shit like a 260-pound dude. That's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, man. And I think it just stems to a lot of intimidation. I think people are just scared.
Yeah, like, no one likes to look like a dork.
Are just scared. Yeah, people are just scared, man. People are scared to get hurt. They're scared to look a certain way. They're scared to... Some people are scared to fucking make calluses on their hands. Like, honestly, bro, like, I think most of society now is just soft.
Yep.
Like when I first opened up my gym, like I had basically no members. I had nobody because of I had an interesting, not a fallout, but just like an interesting dynamic with the last guy I rented space from. It was just a lot of jealousy, a lot of hate, and a lot of my clients were like 20, 25 minutes away. So it took me a little bit to build up my clientele.
Right.
But even to this day, like as I was running the gym, like I realized that people are just little fucking bitches, dude. Like there's no other way around it. And like I've done shit like free trials. I've given people free this, free that. Right. I've done mobility classes. I've done flow. I've done stick mobility. Like. With no working out at all, but like people are just looking at the stuff, and they're just like, "Oh no, Tom's nuts! I can't do that. I would never do that. I'll fucking hurt my wrist. I'll hurt my back." It's like if only you would realize like how stupid you are that this is the stuff that is gonna make you strong and look the way you want to look.
Exactly.
This is the stuff that's gonna answer your prayers when you're looking at yourself in the mirror. And you're saying, fuck, I'm fat. Oh, I got cellulite.
Right.
Fuck, I'm in pain. My back is weak. Like, but people are just so scared to either try something new or do something that's difficult. A lot of people don't want to do difficult shit, especially men these days. Men are fucking pussies, bro.
Right.
They're little bitches that don't want to do anything fucking hard. They don't want to work. They don't want to grind. They don't want calloused hands. They don't want to sweat. They don't want to feel that pain. And that's what I realized, bro. I think society and people these days, like, they're just little fucking pussies and they don't want to put in the work.
Right, dude, 100%. Let's shift gears just a little bit here. We have the most badass seminar anyone's ever going to fucking do coming up in, like, what, 2 weeks?
2 weeks, yes.
2 weeks and a couple days. So May 18th out here at my gym, Premeditated Health and Performance in Lafayette, Indiana. It's going to be a full day seminar. So we'll be doing maces and clubs. We'll be doing kettlebells. We'll be doing landmine, which I'm super excited about because I've never done landmine shit. So I'm pretty excited about that. And we're going to do sandbags as well. So a complete unconventional strength workshop. People will leave being able to be fairly proficient, or at least know how to do it to the point where they're not going to hurt themselves. All those movements, which is like a whole freaking training regimen, right? Like if you have those things, like you're done. That's really all you need.
Yeah, man.
It is $100, which is super cheap for a like 6-ish hour seminar, full day seminar. With probably two of the best unconventional strength people that are around there. I would say unconventional, you probably more than me, but like, I'm a pretty fucking good mace swinger. So it's going to be a good time. We're going to, whoever's coming, however many people we have two people or if we have 20 people, it's going to be a good time. And next time we run it, it's going to be like $500 a piece. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, man, I'm excited to get into that. I'm excited to. I love teaching. Teaching is fun. It that really tests if you're a good coach or not. If you can really teach the stuff, not just tell somebody like how to do it or really do it. So like, it's 6 hours is going to be really cool. Just a deep dive into all the modalities, which is going to be a lot of fun. But I'm excited. I'm excited to teach all that stuff, especially in a new town. Mm-hmm. I've never been there, so that's going to be a lot of fun. That's going to be cool.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm excited to learn from you because I love learning different stuff, or even just like the way people do it. Like, maybe there may be some cues that you do how to swing a mace that could help me out. That'll make me swing heavier. So I'm excited for that.
Same.
That's gonna be fun.
Yeah, I'm also I'm pissed because my back's jacked up right now, so I don't know how much cool stuff I'm gonna be able to do, but. I'll get some work in, but it's gonna be good. I know we have a crew coming. I think some of my trainers are gonna be. Doing it as well. So that'll be cool because we'll get some of my trainers actually in on it and maybe using some of this stuff in their programming with people. What drawing a blank here. Okay. What do you think people need to know about the seminar coming in? Like, do they need experience? Like, talk a little bit about, like, who it's good for, all that. I think we kind of already went into this a little bit.
It's good for everybody, man. I think everybody, whoever's coming, I think just have an open mind and just be willing to learn. You know, I don't want people to come in, like, you know, thinking that they're not going to learn anything or their, like, mind is, like, wandering off. Get good sleep the night before and just be eager to learn some cool stuff that's going to make you change your aspect on strength training and really, really just open up your mind to what you really can do with all this type of stuff. And it's stuff that anybody can learn, because when anybody does a workshop, like, this is for the people who've never been to one or never been to a seminar, it's not about training. It's not about learning all the different moves with kettlebells and stuff like that. It's learning one or two moves really, really well, like jamming it inside your head so you do it perfectly, or if not 80% perfect.
Right.
And then in the future, as you do kettlebells or sandbags or maces, landmines, then you can start to deep dive into all these modalities. It's like, oh, this is how Tom and Dan are able to do the things that they do, and this is how they structure their workouts in that sense. So it's just being open to learning some cool new stuff and just learning some cool strongman, strong things that are going to change your aspect on the gym. And this could turn into what you like to do to keep yourself consistent in your routine.
Well, and I would say even too, like, people who are, like, say they're competing in other strength sports, I have a lot of clients and they all do some kettlebell work and some mace and club work because it's so good for injury prevention and for just strengthening things in a way that you're not used to. And like we talked about earlier, for developing that tendon strength, that's like a huge piece of why you might be plateauing on your stuff too. So we'll kind of talk a little bit too at the seminar about how we'll have like a Q&A section where we'll be diving into like how to implement this into what you're doing. Like maybe you're not like Tom and the folks at Strength Factory and it's like your whole training regimen is unconventional strength training. Maybe you're a little more hybrid. Maybe you're, you know, a power lifter, but you want to use mace swings to keep your shoulders healthy and strong, or you're in strongman and you want to use kettlebells to develop like explosive hip extension for your other lifts without having to learn how to do like Olympic lifts, you know. Same thing with landmines. Like, I feel like all those pieces, even if you don't take everything from it, you'll get three or four things from it that you can dovetail into your current training to make you like way better. So it's going to be, it's going to be fucking dope.
Yeah, man. It's great. And I love when people tell me or they hit me up saying that they use like the stuff that I taught them in their workouts, in their routine. It's cool because when people give you that access to teach them and to for them to be like vulnerable to learn new things and to use that, it's cool. It's a great takeaway. That's what I take away a lot from a lot of seminars and workshops, is meeting new people and networking and just connecting, but also like them telling me that they used my stuff or they got motivated by it to deep dive into these modalities. That's what it's about, man. It's great. It's great leading the way and opening people's minds to better shit out there.
Absolutely. Perfect. Well, Tom DeJuli, where can people find you?
So my regular Instagram is Tom DeJuli. My name is TomDeJuli. And then if you want to follow my gym's page, it's the dot strength factory gym. That's with all my clients. That's my all the people that I train, everything that goes on in the gym. And then my personal page is just me fucking doing crazy weird shit.
Yeah. Sweet. And then me, of course, y'all can find me strongman_Dan. And then my gym is premeditated_HP on the Instagrams. And in the show notes here, I will link to the seminar. There's still time for people to get signed up. I think we are going to offer an audit option too, if maybe you're like, you know, nervous about trying stuff, or you're working through an injury or something and don't think you can lift a lot of the things that we're going to be teaching, but you still want to go there and ask questions and learn. We'll have an audit option as well. That won't be on the link, but you guys can take care of that when you're here. And you know, if halfway through you decide you want to start messing with the stuff, you can just square up at the end. Tom DeJuli, thank you so much for coming on. Always good talking with you and watching you do crazy ass shit on your Instagram. You guys should definitely follow him. He is a great follow. I also love that you're like a hard ass. Like he don't got any weak shit going on, man. He is a tough, tough guy. So
thank you, bro.
Heck yeah, man. Congrats on your sandbag victory. It was three weeks ago or something like that. And
thank you, man. I appreciate it, bro. Thank you for having me on. I'm excited to go to come up and to meet you and get after it, man. And
yeah, dude. We'll
cool.
we'll pick you up from the airport that Friday. Maybe do some lunch or something. Maybe get some training in, and then I think we have a little get together in the evening, and then Saturday we'll just tear it up for 6 hours.
Cool, man. Sounds good. I'm with it. I can't wait. I'm excited.
All right, brother. Thanks for coming on. We will talk to you soon.
Cool. All righty, man. Thank you, bro.